God tells us to wait sometimes until it's humanly impossible, till there's no earthly way it could be pulled off, so that everybody knows if God didn't do it, it wouldn't get done.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor at Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad you've joined us. We're in a series called The ABCs of Prayer, with a message entitled, When God Says Wait. And that can be one of the difficult things to do as we struggle in our prayer life, to wait on the Lord. And Pastor, you began to talk about some of the reasons that God may have us wait, to test our commitment to Him so that others can benefit from an answer to prayer, or maybe we're just not ready yet for God to answer our prayers in the way in which we want. He needs to grow us and mature us and make sure that we're ready before He answers our prayer in that way. But sometimes, like you pointed out just a moment ago, it's so that everybody around us can see that this was obviously God's doing. It wasn't anything that you or I did.
Amen. Well, you know, I tell our assembly all the time that if you look at something and you say, oh, anybody could have done this, then God's not in it, because God will share His glory with no one. And there are times when God will let things just disintegrate to the point where, as you stated, everybody knows if God hadn't done it, it would not have been done. You look at the resurrection of dead marriages and all those kind of things. I just had a sister at our church. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. They took the pictures and all that. Check this out, Steve. This is really fascinating. It shows you how our God works. She goes in. They are prepping her with anesthesia. Her doctor comes in, feels for the lump and doesn't feel it, and said, okay, you took pictures. Show it to me. It was there. He said, I don't feel it. Take her and get another photo. They got another x-ray. They came back. Nothing was there. Mm-hmm. So they said, let the anesthesia wear off. The anesthesia wore off. And he said to her, he said, Jackie, he said, I don't know what's going on, but you're cancer free. You can go home. Come back and get a checkup. And she said, Doc, I told you that I belong to Jesus Christ. And man, everybody knows it. I mean, yeah. The doctor is he's mystified, and the anesthesiologist is stupefied, and God was glorified, but you get the idea.
I get the idea.
You get the idea, brother.
Yeah, I get the idea. God often answers prayers in such a way that no one can take credit. He gets all the glory.
He got all the glory out of that.
And that's what we're looking at.
In our church, we did what we call, in our colloquial expression, we shouted when she shared her testimony.
That's great. Well, we're going to continue to see how God answers prayer and how He sustains us when He says, wait. We're in Luke chapter 1. Hope you'll join us there as we continue the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
What does God do? Write these down if you're taking notes. Exodus 3:7. And Genesis 15:13-16. Exodus 3:7, Genesis 15:13-16. So what happens in this text? What happens is this. The children of Israel are told ahead of time. God says, listen, you are going to go into captivity and you will be slaves to Egypt for 400 years. And He says, listen, this is part of my divine plan. Why, Lord? Because your suffering or your grief is my grace to them. I want to give them a time to repent in that land. So I'm going to give them 400 years to repent. But while I'm giving them my grace, it's going to cause you grief. Man, I don't like that. Let me just speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I don't like the fact that in His divine plan, in order to benefit somebody else, I may have to suffer. But you know what, my brothers and sisters? I hope that you're going to voiceofthemartyrs.com and you're looking at what's happening around the world. I just was in prayer. I pray every day for the martyr church around the world. and just read about in Somalia where 13 people were macheted to death just because they were Christians and they were meeting in an unlawful assembly, and the Muslims went in with machetes and hacked them all to death. One man had gotten away to report it and share with the voice of the martyrs that he just wept as he saw his brothers and sisters hacked up. One of the women was pregnant, and they didn't even spare her. They hacked her alive with her unborn baby. You know, it's like they're suffering. One preacher has said it well. He said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, that God used his own suffering to bring us joy. Why can't he use our suffering to bring others joy? And of course, we are not suffering like they are, even though some of us are suffering very well. And so Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, God has a plan and he doesn't fill in the details. Can you imagine if God filled in the details of his divine plan? If you knew that leaving where you were and coming to where you are, you would go through what you went through, would you have left where you were? I would not have. No. If you knew the things you were going to go through, now you can have a good marriage now, but you went through something if you got one. All right. And if you got one and haven't gone through anything, then you ain't ready yet. You're still in the honeymoon stage, because no marriage is going to grow until it goes through a whole lot of hell and suffering. But when you come out on the other side, because sometimes, you know, I just like to start a fight just so we can make up. Y'all single folk don't know nothing about this, but, you know, makeup is nice. Amen. So sometimes just say, you want to fight? Why? So we can make up. Wow. So could you imagine if you knew what those kids were going to be like? And you knew that was the night of conception. Don't you touch me. Don't you better get on away from me, because you don't know what you're about to do to us. No, we'll wait for the next one. So when we don't wait, you know what happens. Come on, somebody tell me. Abraham didn't wait, and what did he have? An Ishmael. And we got Ishmaels running all over the place. Some folk are married to their Ishmael. Some folks' job is their Ishmael. I mean, it's all over the place. Because remember, and I say it again, ad infinitum, ad nauseum, the devil will always try to send you an Ishmael before God sends you your Isaac. Got to be careful. Got to be discerning. Don't jump on the first train that's coming. There's more that's coming. That first train may not take you to your destination. You better find out where it's going before you jump on. Yeah. So to test our commitment so that others will benefit, because it's linked to the divine plan. Look, verse 7 and verse 18. Look at what it says in verse 7. It says, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. Why is God telling us that? They are past the time of childbearing. Verse 18, listen to what it says. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He said, she don't have the inclination, and neither do I. And even if we did, it wouldn't amount to anything anyway. Ain't nothing happening here anymore. And so reason number 4, God tells us to wait sometimes until it's humanly impossible. Till there's no earthly way it could be pulled off. So that everybody knows if God didn't do it, it wouldn't get done. That if God didn't open up the door, it wouldn't have never been opened. If God wouldn't have stopped our enemies, I didn't have the power. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the strength. But thank God he does. And now I can't take any glory, because you know I'm not that smart. Because you know I'm not that rich. Because you know I'm not that well off. That God did it. Yeah. Too old. Too old. Too old. That's why he waited 4 days, according to the theologians. Because in the Jewish tradition, they believe that your spirit stayed with your body for 3 days. So Jesus waited until the 4th day so that everybody would know he's dead. He has started to decay. He, like my garbage that's waiting for me at home right now, is stinking.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., a message entitled, When God Says Wait. And we're going to get back to this teaching again in just one moment. If you ever miss a part of a broadcast, come to our website. You can listen online. Come to treasuredtruthradio.org. Another way to listen is to begin podcasting the program or to have the Moody Radio app. Both of those are great ways to listen on the go when it's convenient for you, and you're going to find links to both the podcast or to download the app when you come to our website, treasuredtruthradio.org. Let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Ford.
And so he comes forth. That's a powerful story there, isn't it? It is, Lazarus, come forth. And the old preachers say, it's a good thing he called his name. Because if he would have just said, come forth, everything in the grave would have got up. Because that's what's going to happen when at the shout, you know, a bride, come forth. And everything that believed in Jesus Christ from time immemorial to the rapture of the church, the dead going to get up. And the body that's reserved in heaven, 2 Corinthians 10:5, shall be dropped, and the soul and the body shall be reunited in an eternal body. So shall we ever be of the Lord. He said, come forth. Now, you know, he had 100 pounds of spices on him because that's what they used. He was wrapped up like a mummy. And so that means he did not walk out the grave. He floated out the grave. And then Jesus said, unwrapping, loosing. I like that. I like that. I better say that for Sunday, though, because you can get excited right there, you know, because God says, listen, I'll resurrect it because I'll do what you can't do. But you unwrap him. You see, I work in conjunction with you. You are part of my divine plan. So I'll resurrect him, something you can't do, but you can take the grave clothes off. See, there's some things that we can do to help our brothers and sisters. God's not going to do it. We need to do it. God's not going to give them a pair of shoes. You got two. You give them one. God's not going to give them an extra set of clothes. You got more than what you need. You do it. Now, I'll raise them from the dead. I'll restore the marriage. But you get in there and give them some counseling. You get in there and give them some fellowship. Give them a model where they can see what a good marriage looks like. You do it. Why are we here? Humanly impossible. We ain't had the money. And now I've been praying since we've been in here. 4 years. Lord, you know we don't have the money to pay it off either, but we know you do. Amen. And I'm telling you, every check I get, I look to see if it says $3 million. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody going to write that check. Somebody going to write that check. I don't know when. I don't know how. I know I can't write it because if I did, it'd have more rubber than Goodyear got tire. And I know you can't write it either. But God got some folk that can write it. I'm telling you. He's got something that can write it. And I'm waiting for him to give me favor. Because favor ain't fair. Amen. Then notice number five. To increase faith and dependency upon him, verse 19 and 20. To increase faith, number five, test our commitment, number one, that others would benefit from the answer to our prayer. Number three, link to the divine plan. Number four, until it's humanly impossible. Number five, to increase our faith and dependency upon him, verses 19 and 28. Let me read them. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And they waited for Zechariah to come out. And verse 22 says, he could not speak unto them. But when did he speak? When he said, his name shall be John. God says, you don't believe me. So since you don't believe me, now get this now. He's getting an answer to prayer that he believed some time ago but don't believe now. Why is he still getting the answer when faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? Because you did believe me and I gave you the answer. So even though you are now in unbelief, I'm not going to take it back because now you don't believe. I gave it to you when you believe. Now, why am I emphasizing that? Because on TV, I saw this guy, and he's a well-known preacher whose wife had cancer. And it was in remission, and on national television, he said, the cancer is back because she start losing faith. And I said, first of all, you shouldn't be doing your wife like that off the price on television. Second of all, if she believed it then and God did it, it's done. There's no recidivism in healing. You're either healed or you're not, you know? And listen, I had a cold and I got healed, but it was all natural means. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, it's supernatural in that we wouldn't have it unless God gave somebody wisdom. Okay, but he didn't just say, because if he would have healed me, guess what? Bam, that would have been it. I wouldn't have had to stay home and eat chicken soup. My wife said, you've been sick 4 days. Look at you. You look a little thinner. I said, don't worry, baby. Don't worry. That ain't going to last long at all. As soon as I'm able to get me a chicken breast, you'll see. Amen. Didn't I tell you I've been eating for 2 days? Don't look like I lost a thing. And so, yeah, to increase our faith and dependency, because we have two choices. Here they are, two choices. Give up, hold on. That's it. Give up, hold on. And he appears to give up. Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. Psalm 40, verse 1, Psalm 37, 5 through 7, tells us that we need to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let me give you these last two, and I'm just going to drop them. I'm not going to push them. I want you to see verse 20b. Number 6, because it fits the divine timetable. And we talked about that at the beginning of the message. So in verse 20b, listen to what it says. It says, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. God has a season and a reason for the answer to our prayers, and ours must match his. So then what's the reason? What's the season? God has both. And so we need to understand. Take Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah prays. He says, the wall is down. I want to build the wall. So Lord, would you answer my prayer and give me favor with this man? So who's he talking about? He is pointing at Artaxerxes. He's pointing at him and saying, listen, this is the one that you're going to use to give me favor. So he got a letter and he got lumber. He got everything he needed from him, this man. But when did he get it? 4 months later. So if you look at chapter 1, verse 1, and then chapter 2, verse 1, you'll see it's 4 months. God, why 4 months? Why would you have him wait 4 months? Because if you look at the divine timetable of eternity, you will see that the 490 years for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ started with the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. So he's saying, listen, I'm not going to answer it right now because it doesn't fit the timetable. What I'm going to do is answer it when it fits my overall plan. That's what he's doing. Why are we waiting for what we're waiting for? Because God has a schedule and he keeps it. It's called Kairos time. You know the times. Come on, give it to me. So what is it? There is Chronos. What's that? People time. And then there's Eschatos. What is that? Prophetic time. But then there's Kairos. That's perfect time. That's God's time. Now, in Scripture, there is no hammer time. So John was in it. And then finally, seventh reason why God asked us to wait. Verses 20 through 22. So we would be submissive to God's will. That thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God says, okay, then if it's my will be done, then I'm going to give it to you when it fits all these other six parameters. Will you submit to the divine will? Will you submit to my divine timetable? Listen, let me just close by saying this. It's a true story. It's called The Secret of the Bended Knee. You ever see a bird on a wire in its sleep? You ever wonder, how in the world can this thing hold on to that wire? And I always, you know, I just have a sense of humor. I think, well, you know, at least it would, you know, slip, you know, and be hanging upside down. And you know what it is? As long as their claws are curled, their knees are locked. I said, wow, it's the secret of the bended claws. I said, that's it. It's able to hold on because it's holding on. That's all I came to tell you tonight. When God says, wait, just wait. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your grace, your goodness to us. It's difficult for us in prayer sometimes to just hold on. But we thank you that you said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so you told us through the psalmist, wait on the Lord, and he shall fulfill the desires of your heart. Help us to do so.
Amen. You know, what a powerful conclusion to this three-part message on what to do when God says wait. You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor James Ford Jr., and if you've missed any part of the study, you can access it online at our website, treasuretruthradio.org. Well, as you've been learning and growing through Pastor Ford's teaching, maybe you'd like to play a part in making Treasure Truth available right here on the station. Our monthly partners are our growing family supporters who make up the financial backbone for Moody Radio. They allow us to meet all the operating costs to produce the Christ-centered teaching that you're benefiting from today. And when you become a monthly partner by auto gift at a level of $30 or more, we have a special way to say thanks for your partnership. Moody Publishers has agreed to honor a 50% discount on their entire store as long as you remain a monthly partner with us. And there's no limit on the number of resources or how often you can use your discount. Our goal is to equip you with the best in Christian resources and to say thanks for your constant support. So if you want to become a monthly partner, call us at 1-888-644-7660 or come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. And whether you're looking for Christian fiction, Bibles, commentaries, or resources on Christian living, Moody Publishers has something to offer. And with your 50% discount, you're going to have access to everything you need. Become a monthly partner and take advantage of the special offer when you call 1-888-644-7660. Or again, our website is treasuretruthradio.org. I'm Steve Hiller. Our producers are Amy Rios, Mark Brutta, and Nathan McMillan. Join us again Tuesday as Pastor Ford talks about praying with an attitude of gratitude. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.